Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
All right. Thank you, Michelle. It seems like it's been a while since I've been up here to share with you, and I'm always excited and honored to be able to share the word with you. Let me ask you to help out by praying with me and just asking God's blessing on this time. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. I thank you so much for the privilege, always the honor of being able to share your word with your people. And I just ask that it would be you and not me that they hear, Lord. And that and when that happens, Lord, then things change. Things happen. And we are blessed. So help your preacher, Lord. Jesus, in your name. Amen. 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 I was experiencing something that I know many of you have experienced. It's something that we can all relate to, but I don't think we enjoy it at all. I was sitting on the 405, and that's basically all I was doing. Just kind of just sitting. When you have this destination in mind, you have a goal, and you're like, I just so want to get there. It's just frustrating. And I think about those times, and you know, it's such a simple thing to be able to relate that I said, you know what, Lord, I really feel that that's something that we can all relate to, but not just sitting in our cars or being in the wrong line at the grocery store or, you know, trying to get gas, and it just seems like it's not happening. The things that we go through as believers is in our faith, sometimes we just feel like we're just not getting there. It just feels like we have a spiritual 405 going on in our lives sometimes. It's like, what's going on here? And we know God's given a destination for our lives. We know there's transformation. We know, but just what is it? I think sometimes, though, there's a thing that we've forgotten. Something that's so essential that can help us move forward, that can help us make progress in our lives, but we've just forgotten it. What is it that will allow us to move forward? There's a beautiful story in our scripture, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, and it's one of my favorites. I love it. And I want to share it with you today, and I think it demonstrates this key, I'll call it, the key to help us move forward spiritually and just progress in our lives. And if you're hearing this for the first time, I mean, just as far as a message of what does Jesus mean and what does it mean to have faith, let me just tell you this. God wants to bring you forward. He wants to move you forward in life. And that comes most especially by remembering this one key and that I see happening so wonderfully brought out in the story of Joshua. When Joshua, and I'll let you know who he is just in case you're not familiar with him, but Joshua was what we call, he was a man of God. And he got to be able to do something that for a generation people just could not do. And what it was Joshua was the man of God that was able to take the people of Israel out of the wilderness and move them into the place that God called the Promised Land. It's pretty simple as to why it was called the Promised Land. It was the place that God promised there was land, so it was called the Promised Land. So that's why we call it that. But for years, the people of God had been given this promise, and they couldn't go there. Now Joshua is the one that is chosen to do this. And that's the incredible thing. When you get chosen to do something that, you know, just nobody else has done, and then you get tapped and said, I'm going to let you do it. You're going to be the one. You're going to do the reveal. Someone's going to pull down the curtain. I don't know how we're going to do it, but you know, someone gets chosen to do what no one else has been able to do, or to be able to pull off what everyone's been trying to do. That's Joshua. I want to share this with you. It's in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, just the first four verses. This kind of like summarizes or catches us up to speed as to what's going on. It says, after the death of Moses, some of you know that guy, very famous. He's the one that actually brought Israel out of slavery. got them freed from Pharaoh, led them across the Red Sea, and brought them out of captivity. But he died. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them. To the Israelites, I will give you every place you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, and all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. And no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Wow, that's a foundational verse right there. Lots of us quote that. That's where it's from. So get that. Joshua is tapped by God. He is chosen to be able to, this is what God is saying. I'm going to let you be the one to take the people of Israel into the promised land. Now, why is that such an incredible feat? What's so special about that? I mean, God promised it to them. Why is this conversation, why is God's selection of Joshua such an extraordinary thing? It's because although the land had been promised to Israel for 40 years, they had been standing on its boundaries, just looking in. They had never been able to go into the land and take the promise that God had given to them. That's those 40 years that some of you might be familiar with, called the wandering in the wilderness of the Israelites, of the people of Israel. If you've ever heard of that, that's what we're talking about. That's when this takes place. They've just completed 40 years in the desert. I mean, many times we refer to this time as the wandering in the wilderness. In all truth, they weren't wandering. They knew exactly where they were. They were outside of the promised land. They were on the other side of the river, and right across the river was what God had promised them. But they were detained by God. He kept them from entering in. He kept them from taking hold of the promise that he actually had given to them. Although God had promised, he withheld the promise for 40 years. The people under Moses' leadership were not able to go into the land. You see, although they were detained for 40 years, they actually got to the promised land fairly quickly. Scholars estimate that it only took them a couple of weeks to get there. I mean, Egypt is not that far away. It's not like they had to travel from Egypt to New York or anything like that. It was just, it's a trip, but it's not that long. It's not a 40-year trip. It's not a 40-year trip, which is what we do on the 405. It's like, that's, feels like 40 years. So how frustrating would that have been to get there within just a couple of weeks? I mean, this, you're talking about a million plus people all excited. Because remember, when God released the Israelites from Egypt, that's an incredible thing. They had been in slavery for hundreds of years, beaten down and just oppressed beyond our imaginations. And they called out to God, and God raised up a man, and his name was Moses. And he's the one that goes in and stands up in front of Pharaoh. And then God does all these incredible miracles in order to loosen Pharaoh's grip on all of the Israelites that were in slavery. Because you don't want to get rid of your workforce. It's like, we got pyramids to build. We got all sorts of things to do. We got lots of, you think this is a building project. You see what they used to do in Egypt when they had millions of people as slave power. And to lose that, Pharaoh's not going to do that. So God used Moses to get them out of slavery. And when they're released, it's, you know, it's the most incredible celebration. It's freedom, finally. And also, it's a reconnection to their God. And so then God calls them out to a special place, and there they go. They go making the trek across the wilderness, not that far away. And then they come to the edge, the boundary of the new land. And there's a river there. And what they need to do is they need to cross over into that new land and take it. Now, there were people that were there, but God said, I've given it to you, and you will be able to displace them according to my will, and this will be yours. But when the people sent their scouts over into the land, the scouts came back completely just freaked out. Sent 12 spies into the land. Some of you know this. You see, the Israelites were formed into tribal groups, basically family groups. 12 family names. And so a representative from each family sent a scout over. 12 spies. The 12 spies go into the land that God promised them. And they come back. And all but two believe that God would ever even allow them in there. 10 of the scouts, 10 of the spies, we refer to them as sometimes, said, oh my God, we could never take that land. The people there are like, they're like giants. They're like powerful and they're strong. And if we were to make a comparison, we look like grasshoppers compared to them. Their armies are strong and their cities are fortified and they're powerful people. But two of the spies said, no, we could do this. We could totally do this. And you know why what they based that comment on? They said, we can do this because God just promised us the land. God promised us the land. Just two, though, out of 12 had the confidence in God's promise to be able to say, I don't see the problem. God told us this was ours. But the other 10 said, no. One of the two was named Caleb. And the other one was named Joshua. 40 years later, God calls up Joshua and says, I got an unfinished job for you. You're going to take the people across the river. You see, the ones that didn't believe that they could take the land, they're not around anymore. That's why I let you guys stay out in the desert for 40 years. Because I was not going to let those unbelievers enter into the land. Because they didn't have the faith. They didn't have the trust. They didn't believe that I could do it. And I need them to be able to trust in me. I need them to be able to believe in me. So for a generation, I kept you out of the land. Now, that generation is gone. Save you. And you can bring them into the land. Wow. You see, that's why this was such an incredible thing. That's why for God to call Joshua up and say, hey, you're going to bring the people into the land. It's like, what? I mean, if you've been on hold for like 40 years, you kind of like forget that, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, right. Yeah, it's our promised land. Right. You know, you just kind of, you stop telling the stories, you stop singing the songs, you take down the poster. It's like, yeah, you know, I was so into this, but you know, after like 20 years, it's like, yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. You know, that thing's not going to get parked in my driveway anymore. I'm just going to take that down. You know, I'm not going to be doing this. I'm not going to see that coastline. It's just not going to happen. How about after 40 years? It's like, oh, that promise is long gone. Nobody thinks about it anymore, except for Joshua, and God calls him up. But think about that. Why couldn't the people cross in? Why couldn't they believe God? Why didn't they trust his word? I mean, what was it? You see, there was a key. There is an important key that the people didn't have that God was about to give to Joshua. Would change everything. And if we have this key, it'll change our lives too. I have one. I brought it. Custom made right here. Yeah, it's got some heft to it. This is what God gave to Joshua that said, with one of these, you can cross. Everybody should have one of these. You should have one of these. I have one of these. I can get you one of these. It's spectacular. You're not going to... I just got shit. Right? Wow. I could totally win with this. Wow. Guess what? Yeah, it's what you say. It's a rock. That's right. Right? Verify.
Yep.
Verify. Rock. Rock. Okay. It's a rock. Okay, good thing it didn't bounce on my toe because I wouldn't be going anywhere. That's what God told Joshua to get. A rock. He said, if you get this rock, it'll help you cross over and to continue to cross over. How so? Let me read to you. Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. And when the whole nation, they're in the process, the whole nation now is crossing the river. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose, once again, how many do you think? 12. Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from right where the priest stood and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together 12 men that he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, go over before the ark. They were talking about the Ark of the Covenant. You know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, that one. They had that with them. That's actually how the river parted. So Moses parted the Red Sea with the ark, and God told Joshua, well, you got a river to cross too. Tell the priest to carry the ark into the middle of the Jordan, and it'll split before their feet even touches the water. And just like the Red Sea, the Jordan parted for Joshua. And the priest stood in the middle of the riverbed. And this is where this is taking place. So Joshua called the 12 men that he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God to the middle of the Jordan. And each one of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder. Those are big ones. On his shoulder, according to the number of the tribe of Israel. Now, this is it. This is the kicker right here. How do these things work? What in the world? Why in the world would God say, go pick up a rock? Why is this thing the key? He said, this is how it's going to work. According to the number of the tribes of Israel, to serve as a sign among you in the future. When your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Are you getting that? Are you getting this? Why was it so important for God to say, go get pick up some rocks? Because this is really key for you. God said, go get a rock, but not just any rock, not a rock off the shore, not off the river's edge. He said, no, this rock, these rocks are significant because the only way you're ever even going to be able to get one of these things is if I split the river in two and you stand in the middle of it when it is dry, then you can pick it up. And once you get these stones, you will never, ever be able to go there and get another one. But forever, you will remember that the only way I got this is because God was faithful to his promise.
Amen. So
now go take these rocks and go stack them up so that years later, when your kids go, hey, Dad, what is that pile of rocks over there? And he goes, oh, let me tell you about those. You know where we got those? You know the Jordan River? They go, yeah, that big old thing. He goes, they're from the bottom of it. I was like, what? How can that even happen? You can't go down there. It's deep. Much less pick up a rock and swim back up to the top and then carry it to the shore. He goes, you're right. Normally, you could never do it. But when God makes a promise, all things are possible.
Amen.
That's why I got this rock. Because it tells me that I can trust God at what he says. That I can believe in his promises, even though they sound so outlandish and so wild, like being able to get a rock from the bottom of the ocean. That's impossible. When would I ever be able to do that? But yet, I have a stack of them right here. You see, that's why God told Joshua to do this simple yet powerful thing. The key to moving forward is actually in looking backwards in a special way. I know Paul the Apostle says, forgetting those things which are behind and looking forward and pressing on towards the goal of mark of the high calling of God. Yes, that is true. He's talking about forgetting all the negative things and forgetting all the lies and the disabling things that the enemy would tell you. But above and over that, we best not forget the things in the past that God has done. The key to moving forward is remembering what God has already done. Because if you're like me, I forget all the time. I forget that God is faithful. You know why? Because sometimes I'm just so used to living with it. And I'm not just talking about the big things. I'm not just talking about the big splits in the river. I'm just talking about the simple things. Just the simple things. God had them pick up 12 stones from the riverbed. And then he said in verse 21, he said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their fathers again, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us and we crossed over. He did that so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful and so that you might always fear and honor the Lord. That's what I forget sometimes, though. I'm busy going, I don't see anything going on. What has God done? Oh, he's done a lot. It's just I forget. God said, take those 12 stones and build an altar. An altar so that you might not do what the people in Moses' day did. They were guilty of forgetting. They looked across the Jordan and they only remembered and saw their own failures. When they saw the people that they were so strong, they said, we're just like grasshoppers. What can we do? Yeah, you are grasshoppers. But it's not a question about what you can do. It's about a question about what your God can do. And so in taking these stones, God is helping them to remember. You see, taking a memento or something that reminds you of wonderful things is a powerful tool. I gotta confess something to you guys. I discovered that as I've gotten older, I start to accumulate a lot of little things that, like, people are like, what is that? What is that little rock that you have? What is that little piece of wood that you have? What is, oh, you know where I got that? It's a bunch of those things. It's a bunch of those things. Now I understand why when I used to go over my aunt's house, I was like, what are all these things? Shelves and shelves of little things. I was like, she's like, oh, this is from when we were in Texas, and then the family left, and this is from the house, the little house that we lived in. I was like, oh, all right. And what about this? Oh, this is your uncle got this one, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, all right. It didn't mean much to me. But to her, it represented a point in time that was powerful and wonderful and beautiful and happy me. And God is going, see, that's how you guys are like. That's what you're like. Why don't you help yourself? I'm going to help you help yourself. Take a rock. And don't forget where you got it. You know, the people in Moses' time, though, they took stuff from Egypt. It should have helped them. But they didn't really take the right stuff. You remember what they took out of Egypt? Gold and jewels and all these kinds of things. Fancy things. Well, you know, I'm not going to really point a finger. I could remember a good thing with the gold bracelet, but it's what they did with them. You see, the people of Jordan's day took the rocks and they built an altar. The people of Moses' day, they took their things and made an idol. Build altars. Don't build idols. I mean, it was even the blessing that God had given them. I mean, God said, you can take the plunder with you, but don't go building golden calves out of it. It's not going to help. Remind yourself by building altars in your life. Things that point to the hand of God. Things that remind you and help you to remember. We have to help ourselves because I forget. Yes. I forget. I don't want to be caught failing to remember what God has done. See, sometimes I forget. I forget about some of the greatest things that I've experienced in life. I've learned to do this one thing for myself, and I've shared it with a couple of you. Every now and then when I'm kind of thinking, I don't know if it's really working here. I don't know if it's happening. I don't know if God's really holding up his end of the bargain or if anything's really going on. I've taught myself to stand still. This is me. And to look down at my own feet. And in doing that, I remember that when I was a little boy, my legs weren't straight and my feet weren't straight. Because I had a twist in my leg. So much so that I had to wear special shoes, which weren't not the style. They were not the fashion. And I did not dig wearing those things. But then one day, just an evangelist came to our church, and she had an altar call. And I think I was only like 7 years old, and my mom like half dragged me up there. But, you know, I was like, oh, okay. And took me up there because she was asking if anybody needed healing and anyone needed prayer. And she said, do you believe God can heal you? And I was like, yeah, that's what I've been told. Yeah, I was just a little kid. I didn't really know much. And she laid her hands on me and said, be healed. And I walked up that stage with straight legs. Amen. And a straight foot. Hey. And 3 marathons later and several half marathons later and all this kind of stuff, whenever I forget or think, I don't know if this is real, I look down and go, oh yeah, it's real. We won't really be able to move forward if we forget. But we will always be challenged by giants and pharaohs in our lives. Build those altars. Remind yourself of what God has done. You see, it's not about remembering your past failures. It's remembering God's greatness and his deliverance. And if this is your first time or you're experiencing a patch of life where it's like, you know what, I honestly can't think of anything. Let me help you out. Just remember, there is always one thing that God has done that we all share in. He took a cross and he took it for you. And he opened a grave and he rose again. And that rock is something you can build on. Now, I have something for you guys. I hope you brought a backpack. I'm going to call our ushers forward today because I have something to give you. And I've used this in my life, and I tell you, as simple as it is, it works. I'm going to help you rock your memory. Our ushers are passing along a, you can just let them grab it and choose themselves, but please don't get too picky. We've got stones that you can take with you. And this is what we're going to do. So if you could listen to me as you're choosing your special stone, this is what we're going to do. I've done this in the past. We need little memory tools to help us. And God proved this point. It be as simple and as seemingly silly as a rock off the ground. We're going to take a stone, a little stone that you're going to be given right now. And for a couple of moments, I want us just to sit there. And I want you to ask the Lord to help you put significance to that stone from your personal life. Something that is special and personal to you. I want God to help you remember the things that we've forgotten. The reason I know this works is I have a little rock, and I don't even know if Risa, my wife, has noticed it, but it sits on my bedside table. It's a tiny little rock, like about this big. I got that rock just a couple of years ago when I was taking a big step in transitioning into my ministry, and God was calling me to leave my senior pastorate. After 24 years, I was scared to death. I was like, I don't think I can do this, God. I don't know how to do anything else. He says, trust me. So I took some time off, which Pastor Matt helped me with. I took a sabbatical, went and sat on the seashore. And then God said, go find a rock. And you're going to keep this. And every time you see it, you'll remember that I called you. It sits right next to my bed. It's like sometimes it gets covered with a Kleenex or a sock or something like that. But then when I'm straightening up, I go, oh. And I remember. Ladies, I don't mean to call you out or anything like that. You can just stick it in your purse. And the only time that you'll remember it is when you change purses, you know, once ever. I don't know how often you do that. And then all of a sudden you reach in and you pull, and it's like, there's that rock. You could keep it in a winter coat, which we wear once every 10 years here in LA. And then when you reach into the pocket, it's like, what is this? And there it is. I remember what you said, God. You can put it wherever, but don't throw it away. But what I want you to do is we're gonna actually consecrate it and commemorate it and say, God, put significance onto this. Something for me. And you don't need to compare notes or anything. This is for you. Whether you remember it was like, it's the day that I left on my own. And I didn't think I could make it. Or it's this day. Or it's whatever it is for you that you don't want to forget. Or that is being recalled to you right now. Let's do that. Right now. Lord, this is just a simple thing. But just as we saw in the scripture with what you did to Joshua and these Israelites, you can make this simple, profound, and very powerful. This little rock, this little stone, we ask that it simply do this. that when we see it, we remember you and what you've done for us. What you did in our lives, what you may have spoken to us, what you helped us to see or discover, or a new place that we entered into, or an old place that we're finally able to leave. Lord, you are faithful. You are good and you are true. But I sometimes forget. I don't want to forget. So with this tiny little stone, may you be blessed when I praise you for what you have done. Jesus, because of you and your faithfulness, we say amen, amen and amen. Now, stick it in your purse or in your backpack or somewhere, or put it in your pocket. And I pray that you'll remember the things of God. Amen. And in doing that, be the church. Amen. God bless you all.